One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Hebrews chapter 10, beginning verse 31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But, call to remembrance, the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great afflictions. Ye endured. Let's read that again. Call to remembrance. Don't forget. Days that went before, which after ye were illuminated. Entrance of thy word giveth light. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, and a lamp and a light to my path. You think now of what the Lord is saying to us. He said, after you were illuminated, you endure it. He said, if you faint in the day of adversity, it's because of your strength is small. And yet he comes along to say, strengthen me according to thy word. So same thing. Nobody ever fails until they fail at the word. You don't need but one thing tonight, and that's the word. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject of living by faith. Just living by faith. And I want to introduce it by saying there's no other way to live a happy life except to live by faith. Second, there's no other way to please the Lord except to live by faith. No other way. Now, I know faith will do a lot of things, but bring forth works, fruit, that'll abide, and so forth, but brother, living by faith is the only way you'll ever please God and the only way you'll live a satisfying life. And I realize, too, that faith throws you into the life of conflict all the time. Faith doesn't bring understanding. Faith brings misunderstanding. Faith doesn't bring peace, brings war. Ought to bring peace on the inside, but it brings war on the outside. But, you know, I thought, if the Lord could be pleased, and this is just thinking, I wouldn't mind having, say, a couple of times a year, a couple of weeks, of just living by faith, 2 weeks, teach them, let them see around, pray, memorize a chapter a day while he's here. I'd put them at it, wouldn't it? Right. Just assign a chapter and say, now you all know this in the morning when you come back. Just go over that and memorize, don't you? You get it now. You don't have to hobnob with each other, but I want you to memorize this chapter and be able to say it out loud in the morning when we come back. And then I think we'd learn some songs, probably sing Living by Faith. I mean, just learn to sing and testify, and then have a course in praise. Just praise. That's how to praise God. Get up in the morning, praise the Lord. How to stay out of the dumps. How to keep from getting discouraged. How to keep from getting critical. You show me a preacher called me. And he said, Brother Olaf, I've been watching this come on. I've been with him. He said, Brother Olaf, I'm going to resign. He said, do you have any place where I might go? Have anything in mind? I said, not a thing. He said, I've been here about so many years, and he said, I just think people need a change. He said, I think I do too. You'd be surprised to know of the miserable Christians in this world. Folks are doing the work, but they don't enjoy it. And the joy of the Lord shall be your what? There you are. Strength. I got a letter here from some little girl, and I don't guess I could pick her out. And she's interested in the work, and seemed like she's learning. She said, Dearest Brother Olaf, I'm writing because I'm having problems here at the home. Well, that's nice. That's good. That's normal. See, you're supposed to have some problems. How in the world could you know Jesus could solve them if you didn't have them? So, I mean, just don't get excited about that. That's normal. And if you don't have any problems, see me after the service. I can throw one or two on you. Everybody needs some problems, you know that? And I got a flock of them, but none that he can't take care of. Y'all a lot of times see me up here, you think, well, Brother Olaf, he never has anything, no problem, no burden. Why, brother, I'm not complaining about him, but I tell you what, I never have had one the Lord didn't help me with.
Amen.
And let me just announce something. My life never has run smoothly since I got right with the Lord and got in the ministry. Never has. It's just been one bump after another. I mean, I haven't ever been on, I guess, what you call the interstate spiritually. I mean, that's just too smooth and straight. And I mean, there's a lot of crossroads, and ain't no crossroads on an interstate. I mean, you just go right straight down and go under the bridges and free everything else. And so, girls, let me tell you something tonight. Don't think just because you become a Christian that all your problems are over with. They just started. The only difference, you're going to have trouble living a Christian life, but you've got a troubleshooter that'll take care of the trouble.
Amen.
And when you was out there in the world, you didn't have anybody to help you. You just didn't bog down, and you was miserable and scared, nervous and fearful, and you just didn't trust anybody. You can trust the people you're around here. Nobody around here is perfect, but we just interested in you. And so you're going to have some problems. But she said, you know, this one thing, for some reason, I'm not having victory with Jesus. I'm trying my hardest to open up. Can you help me? And she said, I'm having a hard time getting along with the girls. And I just need some help. But she goes ahead to say, I really like it here. And I love your preaching. And he said, when you write and explain, well, just please do it. And said, if we have time, I'd like to talk with you. And she said, and this always makes it better. Brother Olaf, I love you just like my dad. And I'm so happy you let me come here, but I need somebody's guidance. Love in Jesus' name. And now that's pretty good, isn't it? Now, that's pretty good. I mean, she'll have the victory. She's going through some growing pains. And he said over here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, we'll begin reading again. He said, you endured a great fight of afflictions, a lot of them, plural. Partly, while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly, while she became companions of them that were so used. You know, one reason I like to visit in Corpus, I meet a lot of new people. And it's interesting. Ms. Roloff told me the same thing. And I knock on the door or go in a filling station, and they don't pay me much attention a lot of times. You know, I mean, they're just busy, and I don't blame them. And I said, I'm Brother Olaf. He said, are you? You know, I mean, it just kind of feel like it's worth something to stare at me a minute. That didn't bother me. That didn't bother me. I just believe. He said you'd be amazed at gazing stock. And Christians, preachers, don't feel sorry for yourself. You're defeated when you do that. And I discount it all joy. I think it's a real privilege, and it gives me an opportunity. We had four ladies to come. I'm looking around to see if they're here tonight. No, they didn't show up. I don't believe I see them. Friends. I figured they smell too much like cigarettes to come. But people like that, they just don't want to go around where you kind of mention sin. One, a lifelong friend brought up in the same community, won a flock of her people to the Lord, but she's the one out of the four that really appreciated all the ministry. And she said, I tell you, we're praying up there in your home community, and we're thinking about you. But, you know, folks, face it. The reason the people don't have convictions, the preachers haven't preached it to them. Don't blame the people. Don't blame these little girls. That's the reason we don't fuss at you when you come in. We're not going to condemn you. But I tell you what, you need to be condemned if you don't walk in the light we give you while you're here. And you will be. I mean, God will take care of that. I mean, if you think that you can come in and see the light and hear the word and then turn your back on it, there'll be another day. Be another day. For you had compassion on me, or he said, of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Can you do that? Most of us can't. We have to give up some little old something. We get mad about it and fuss about it and say, Lord, I don't know why. I don't know why. What's best? Now, some of you girls come in, you have to give up the way you've been dressing and looking, and you get mad and pout and said, well, it's just too hard. Why, we give you the very best. We offer Jesus and heaven and a free pass to heaven and provisions and everything, love that you never did have before. And so, what are you talking about? What are you talking about anyhow? So he said, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Wouldn't it be a sight right now if the trumpet had sounded? Wouldn't that be something? I mean, just, it could come any moment. Now we'd go home. It'd all be over. We'd never be here again. I mean, Jesus could come any second. Any second. Right now he could come. And I would get no satisfaction out of going up to be with him and looking back and seeing somebody that didn't get to go. Wouldn't that solve every problem we face tonight if Jesus were to come right now? Right now. Let me ask you this. Could you think of any scriptural reason why he could not come right now? I don't think so. Did you know that every born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-loving, Christ-centered preacher and Christian is expecting Jesus to come right now? Right. Did you know that everywhere you go, it didn't happen like this when I started preaching, I didn't hear beans about the coming of the Lord. I didn't hear anything about the coming of the Lord. I was not a premillennial preacher or Christian. That means that things instead, the fact is, I was a postmillennial preacher. Now, you don't know what that is. That means a postmillennialist is the fellow that is going to get everything fixed up, and then Jesus is going to come after we do the job for him. Postmillennial. And so I rode that old horse for a good long while. And the only thing wrong with it, it got worse instead of better. And the only kingdom I saw coming finally was the devil's kingdom. And so I finally got off that horse and got on a Bible horse called premillennial. That means that it's going to get exactly like the Bible said. It means worse and rotten, and children are going to hate their parents, and homosexuality is going to have its way again, and we're going to live in Lot's day, and we're going to live in Noah's day, and we're going to have sin and filth and ugliness, and violence is going to stalk the face of the earth, and wars and rumors of wars, and we're going to see governments fail and fall. And hadn't this last week been a sad week? Don't you know the world is rejoicing about the shape America's in? I want to say this about America. We've been just about everybody's granddaddy. I mean, we've fed everything from here to Russia. We've let them have our wheat and our flour, and we've let them have our produce, and we've loaned money and given money, and of course, we've supported a lot of junk we ought not to have. finance the world. And now then, one of the most despised nations on earth is America. Would you like me to give you a personal illustration? Did you know that some of my rankest enemies and ugliest enemies are the people that we've sought to help the most? I mean, people that we spent thousands of dollars on, and they hate the ground I'm standing on, the floor I'm standing right now. That's normal. That's normal. You're not going to live a godly life and not be despised by the people of the world. And neither are you going to be a nation that tries to help others. Because the thing that hurts us is we've lost our real faith in the Lord. And we've gone into idolatry in America, and judgment morning is a rolling around. I'll guarantee you, Mrs. Edge, that's Miss P.W. Edge over there, and she went with a boy named Paul many years ago. Oh, it's been a long time, hadn't it, Miss Edge? 60 years, 70 years ago, nearly. I mean, I tell you, and Paul went with her. She was his sweetheart. Oh, listen, talk about a lovely couple. Two of the greatest people that ever lived. And they got engaged. They got engaged. And that means, I mean, they're going to get married. I mean, this settled it. I mean, boy, back in those days when you got engaged, I mean, that's final. I mean, all they had to do was just make the arrangements in. I mean, they were just going to get married, that's all. I mean, when an old boy asked a girl and then went and asked his mother, her mother and dad, and they said, well, we'll study about it. I mean, the old boy held his breath while they studied. And he didn't dare marry that daughter. He didn't dare run off with her. I mean, he didn't steal her like he would a cow or a horse. I mean, he said, I've got to get permission. Man, I've got to be at my best. I'm going in there. I'm going to plead for her hand and heart. And see? Yeah. Got engaged. And I know another little story. It's kind of sweet. And after they got engaged, and Brother Paul thought, well, I don't see anything wrong with just kind of kissing you goodnight. I just appreciate the privilege, you know. And she said, well, we'll have to ask my mother and daddy about that. Boy, that's something, isn't it? Man, I mean, they had to go get a license. I mean, from mother and daddy for him to kiss her goodnight. That's back in the sweet old days, weren't it? Wasn't it? Come on. Now then, just look at the filth we're into. Slobbering and biting and chewing and all that kind of junk. I'm the dirtiest bunch of out. I'll tell you, nothing new after they get married. Nothing. Amen. And you wonder why you're in the mess you're in. You say, nothing wrong with you, crazy. You haven't got a lick of Bible sense. Just like you girls told me. I said, did you pray? I said, no, I didn't pray about it. How did you read the Bible? And no, I didn't read the Bible. No, you just went off in sin, blind as a bat, backing up. You don't care. We're living in the dog kennel moral time today. And it's wrecking your little life. Wonder why you're so nervous and scared and jump and scream and have nightmares at night. And so, why your nerves are shattered. I tell you why. Sin got a hold of you at an early age. It'll wreck your system. Wonder why little old girls laying on the couches and psychiatrists trying to diagnose their case. I tell you what ruins is sin. Amen. You still want to laugh at it and smile at it and hug it and hold it and all that kind of junk. It'll kill you. It'll kill young people just like it will older people. Amen. Show me a gambler and I'll show you a nervous man. Show me a gambler and I'll show you a man with shifty eyes. He can't face anybody in the face. Same thing about sin. Oh, listen. Let's read on. I wish I could bring this message and I'll never get through with it. He said, you have need. No, he said, cast not away therefore your confidence. Don't lose your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward, for you have need of patience. That got me today. You have need of patience. I do. You have need of patience. And I want to just say this out loud. I probably need less patience to work with the crowd I'm working with than anybody you can think of. It just doesn't take a whole lot of patience to work, really, with the people out here. I mean, they're Christian people, godly people. They understand. And we have so little, really, serious problems among our work. He said you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, amen, just a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Oh, listen, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now, here's my text. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, there you are. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. He said you have need of patience, but he said you're going to have to learn to live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving, of the soul. Now then, chapter 11, 40 verses. I hope our girls will memorize this. I wish you'd go to work on it. This should be the greatest chapter you ever memorized in your life, to learn to live by faith. This, to me, is the liberation, the faith chapter. This is the place of demonstration. This is the museum of faith. This is the one chapter that has more people who lived and died by faith than any other chapter in the Bible. Now I want you to see what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand. Amen. You'll understand if you let God give you the faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One more verse, and I'm going to let you read the rest of it. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. By faith Abraham, and by faith Sarah, and by faith. And you go right on through the chapter. I'll not read the rest of it. Now then, did you know that God scared, if you want to put it like that, he scared Noah into building an ark? I'm not saying that faith doesn't bring a little fear. I think it does. I've got faith, but I've also got some fear of God tonight. And so Noah got to talking with the Lord one day, and God called him off and said, Noah, I want to have a conference with you. He said, all right. He said, it's all over. He said, what's all over? Well, he said, the world. He said, the world. Yeah, he said, I'm going to wash it all away. He said, Lord, everybody going to know? He said, I got an assignment for you. I want you to build an ark. I want you to build an ark. And I want you to pitch it within and without the pitch, and I want you to build it out of gopher wood. All the ark was a type of Christ. The pitch representing the blood. The gopher wood grew out where nothing else would grow. He grew up as a tender plant out of a dry ground, the Bible said. Jesus did. Been awful dry for 400 years. Hadn't been a prophet's light in the sky. And so the ark was a type of Christ.
We're happy you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The title of the message today was entitled, Do You Live by Faith? To receive this message on a CD, ask for offer number RO3366. To help us with shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of at least $10, and we'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. And to use your credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. May is the anniversary of the Family Altar Program, and also we entitle it Letter Month. It's also the month that Brother Rolf really founded the ministry right here. We'd love to hear your comments from some of you about the ministries of the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises in the past, and the Family Altar Program, of course. Some of the listeners that have written us, one here is from Dallas, Texas, said, "Friends, we pray the ministry will be prosperous with souls for Jesus. This ministry has meant so much to our family. God bless and keep up with the good work. We love you." And we love that message also, my friend. Here's another message coming from North Carolina, Lake Toxaway. That's a beautiful title. "I love your preaching and what you all stand for. My gift is not much, but I hope it helps keep the faith and stands for Jesus. I pray for the ministry of Jesus Christ through Brother Roloff's life. God bless you all." And we thank you for that letter, and we would love to hear from many of you. There's others out there, hundreds and perhaps thousands that are listening, have been listening for years, and maybe you've never written. And this is the chance to not only encourage us, but help us even financially during this particular time when the financial situation of the country is just a little bit questionable. But our message this month is entitled, Faith, the Second Greatest Gift. This is our special offer for May. Now, it's available for $10, and Brother Roloff answers questions such as, what does faith have to offer, and where can I get faith? How do I use it? Well, our toll-free order line is 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. And we do accept credit cards. That toll-free number again is 1-800-772-7507. Now remember again, this is Letter Month. And as a vote for your station to keep us on the air in your area, we must hear from you today. So sit down while you're thinking about it right now and write to the Family Altar Program at Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now, this is Gene Price speaking for the staff here today, wishing you all a wonderful day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.